Am I good? Go. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. This is the Laughing Buddha, the co-host emeritus of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, coming to you live from St. Paul, Minnesota, and ending up in Las Vegas, Nevada, with our host, the Faye Driver. Hello, Faye.
Hello, Laughing Buddha, and hello to the studio audience. Now, just so everybody knows, Laughing Buddha was not able to join us here in Las Vegas, so he is back at home in good old Minnesota. How's it going over there, Laughing Buddha?
Oh, my goodness, it's such a beautiful day out. It's a pleasure to be here today, and I wish I was with you all, but I'm having just a ball seeing everyone having such a great time in Las Vegas, and it's just a wonderful day to be alive and be around the Pride 48 community.
Yeah, there's a lot of great shows happening this weekend, and as you know, you've been here before, it's always a great time, and it's really nice to see and connect again with people that we haven't seen for a year or maybe 2 years in my case. So yeah, it's really lovely to be here, as you know. If you want to talk, you got to come to the mic now. You know, this is the Faye Driver. We don't put up with not doing the job right. So let me introduce my, what do you want to say, Christian, who's approached the mic?
TJ and Christian, love you, Faye.
Oh, thanks, guys. Let me introduce the panel who is here with me today here in Las Vegas. I have to my right, Musing Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Faye. Oh, thank you.
Musing Mark and I were already up here on this stage this morning on Brenda Boo's show. Hello again, it's Brenda Boo. And joining me from all the way from San Francisco is our good friend JR from Hello Waffles.
Good afternoon, all.
This is JR is a virgin on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, so we're going to talk cars with him today. And we're going to quiz him about a few things. And we have kind of an interesting topic we're going to talk about. I'll get to that in a minute. Our final guest joining me, who gets the award for traveling the greatest distance, because this guest came from Chicago.
Yes.
But prior to that, he came from Australia. It's RT Cruiser.
Good afternoon, everyone. Nice to be on the same time zone.
It is. It's really wonderful to see RT Cruiser in the flesh, because you know we're always a half a day away from each other and across the half of the globe. So I have to say what a treat it is for me to meet RT Cruiser in person.
A treat for me as well.
Thank you. And you know, I know many of you who are here listening in the room today have met RT Cruiser last year, so you know what a wonderful guy he is. So, I don't know, guys, what are we going to talk about? Should we talk about the weather here in Las Vegas? I want to say that I love the heat. And you may have heard me talking about being on the boat with on the Brenda Boo show. We went to Lake Mead and we were out on the boat and I was suntanning. And you know, I haven't actually had any time to get to the pool, but I am going to make that a priority. I have two tasks to accomplish. One I'm not going to tell you about. Two is going to be getting to the pool. So if anybody wants to go to the pool with me, maybe today I'm going to be out there with a big, hefty, strong, cool, refreshing drink. And yeah, I'm going to be imbibing. So what about you, JR? Do you do the pool?
I hate the heat, to be honest with you. I'm actually in my correct environment in San Francisco, because we never get days like this.
Right. Isn't it actually, they tend to be cool and moist, don't they?
Cool and moist, especially moist, yes. Yeah. Our summers are, they're actually cool, and we get few days maybe in the upper 80s or 90s late fall, but pretty much it's never quite like this. I have a huge appreciation for air conditioning.
Right. Well, what about you, Mark? How do you deal with this heat?
Well, Faye, I did go to the pool, but I was in the shade. And as the sun set, I kept pulling my legs in to avoid the sun rays. So I'm not a big fan of the heat. I like it cold and rainy.
Right. RT Cruiser, we know where you're from. What's your reaction to this weather?
I'm quite enjoying the weather here. It's as long as it's not humid, I'm fine with heat.
Right.
And it's cool compared to the 121 that it was in Death Valley as I was going through there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's 49 in real temperatures.
Oh, yeah. So you had quite a significant trip then. You've been on a serious driving journey.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about where you started and where you ended up?
Yeah, I flew into Los Angeles two Tuesdays ago. From there, went pretty much in a big circle around the West Coast. So down to Phoenix, Route 66, Death Valley, Yosemite.
And the vehicle?
It was a Ford, a Lincoln MKX. So a little compact four-wheel drive. It was very nice.
Right. I'm sorry, I cut you off. And you ended up finally?
Pacific Coast Highway and then San Francisco. And then I flew to Chicago for a week.
Right. Terrific. So you had a good time? Did you enjoy that?
I had a very good time, yes.
Yeah. What was it like driving through that Death Valley? And was it a long, straight, boring? Were there sections that were like that?
No, I was surprised at how curvy it was and how much the terrain changed. Mm-hmm. Compared to Australia, where you can drive for hours and nothing changes.
Oh, yeah. Now, you were... you went to a place that's special in the heart of Brenda Boo and I. Can you tell us what happened that might be of interest?
I did. I finished with Death Valley, and I thought, I'll drive to Tonopah. It's in the middle of nowhere. Or Tonopah, as the locals call
right.
it.
We don't subscribe to that pronunciation. Yes. It's Tonopah.
So I, you know, Death Valley, 120 degrees temperature. I was a little bit tired by that time. It was 9 o'clock at night, and I drove into Tonopah to find no vacancy signs on every single motel in the town.
Wow. In that tiny little town,
tiny
the place
town.
Was full.
Yes.
And what was the reason? How come it was all loaded up?
There was an AA convention. So the two major population centres decide to meet in the middle, which is Tonopah.
Oh, yeah. That makes perfect sense, kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I was in a bit of a panic because it was either sleeping in the car or drive 3 hours back to Vegas or 3 hours north to Reno.
Yeah.
So I just started at the top of the main street at the Best Western Hotel just to... Went in and see if they had any cancellations, and they had one room available.
Wow.
So
lucky.
I was very lucky.
What did you think of Tonopah?
It would have been beautiful in its heyday. It's a little bit run down.
Yeah.
It has its charms, but right. Not sure I could live there. But the Mitzvah Hotel, stunning building.
Ah, terrific. Well, Brenda's approaching the mic here.
You know, that's where we broadcast from, the Mitzvah Hotel. The Jim Butler Studio? Yes.
That's
yes.
right.
Gazing on those beautiful stained glass windows.
All right. Well, let's get into the show, I guess. We should talk about what we're going to talk about today. Laughing Buddha, you don't know this. We've added a couple of items to the list, the to-do list today. We're going to talk about driving in Las Vegas, Laughing Buddha.
All right.
And Mark, was there something else we had on the agenda?
We had healthcare in the U.S. versus Canada.
Right.
I saw a couple of guys. Oh, never mind. That's different. What else?
I think that's
advice on financing a vehicle and driving in Las Vegas.
All right. Well, let's talk about Las Vegas first. Did you have something you wanted to talk about, Mark, about Las Vegas?
You know, obviously, most drivers probably don't want to drive directly down the strip. As you've been driving around, what are your tips and tricks?
Right. Yeah, I think probably the locals know this too. You should avoid the strip at all costs. it tends to be very slow and jammed up. So I think the locals know that there's the streets that run parallel to the strip are much more efficient. So if you're trying to get to one of your little shows, all you homosexuals who are going to the Broadway shows and what have you, and Diana Ross, as someone's been to recently, stay away from the strip, especially at night. And the unusual thing that's been happening here is they keep shutting the roads down when it gets dark. They do all their construction at night, I guess, so the roads are the lanes are being closed, and you're getting, you know, three or four lanes down to one. So that's quite frustrating too. So I would recommend, if you're going out tonight, especially tonight, it's going to be Friday night. It'll be Saturday tomorrow.
Saturday.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't have any concept of time. You all know that, especially those poor people I left at the airport from the Pride 48 shuttle. Avoid the strip and give yourself some extra time, because you're essentially, you may be encountering detours and things. Have you? RT, you're driving in Las Vegas. Do you have any tips for people?
Yeah, I didn't get a car this year, but I did get to drive Marcus's car back the other night. And yes, the road to the parking at the Excalibur was completely blocked, and we had to go over the freeway, do a U-turn, and come back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, forget the Stratosphere, forget New York, New York. If you want a thrill ride, get Marcus to drive you through Las Vegas.
All right. Daniel Brewer.
I don't know how they do it in Australia, but here in America, we speak into the microphone, and then people can hear you. I thought maybe it was a cultural thing.
Just call me Wendy. Sorry.
Okay, great. Carry on. Sorry.
Okay, thanks, Daniel Brewer. Always a pleasure.
You know, it's... I can't decide who is a better producer, Daniel Brewer or Brenda Boo. Oh. Maybe we should have a vote.
We should make them arm wrestle.
Oh,
jelly wrestle.
Actually, we should make them. We should make them coordinate a bit or a show. Okay. Anyway, never mind. I see we are being approached by the mic. That Peter G.
Yes, thank you, Faye. Now, just making a left last night in our taxi took about 20 minutes to make a left turn, because we had to go through like four cycles of left turn. But, you know, Faye has been really great about driving us. He drove us to Lake Mead yesterday, and he only made two wrong turns. So he narrowly avoided the nickname Wrong Way Faye.
Oh, good one. Hey. I'll accept that moniker.
And who was navigating yesterday?
That Peter G. Who does tend to chat a lot and not pay attention to the directions. But, you know, two of us in the front, we made out okay. I think we did pretty good.
We did okay.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a wrong turn. It's called exploring.
Right. Now, JR, you've been doing some driving too, and you guys, you and your partner, Calvin, from Hello Waffles, drove all the way here to Las Vegas from San Francisco.
We sure did, and actually we drove up and down the strip twice, and I have no complaints.
Oh, yeah.
Got lucky.
You know, it probably was the time frame. We got here about midday Thursday, but we got all the way down there, checked out the old strip, drove back. The only thing that I noticed is there's just too much freaking crap going on the sides of the street, so everybody's a little preoccupied, I'd say, at least. But and I don't know if this is true, maybe someone else knows, but I feel like when I was here 20 years ago, they didn't have those over walkways. I remember I rode the shuttle and they kept saying, don't race across the street. Tons of people have been killed and hurt and maimed trying to go across the strip. But now they have all those like crossing walkways, and I don't remember those being here 20 years ago. Is that's a newer development?
Yeah.
I noticed a lot of fences in the middle to keep people from being like little antelope trying to race across the highway.
Right. Mm-hmm. Does anyone else have any questions about driving in Las Vegas? Because I'd like to get to our main topic. It's maybe a little bit of a heavy topic, but I thought it would be interesting to discuss healthcare in our various different nations, because we have a range of people from different countries. I, of course, am from Canada. JR is from the United States. RT Cruiser joins us from Australia. And Musing Mark has 1 foot in two countries. In each country, And he's lived in the U.S. before and obviously lives in Canada now. So I thought it would be interesting for us to discuss how we receive our health care and what healthcare costs and that kind of thing. So I want to start off the discussion basically with, can I borrow that from you?
Yes.
Thanks. I'm going to take your notes because I can't find mine.
Go for it.
Actually, let's just acknowledge the chat room because, you know, it's very important for us here at Pride 48 Las Vegas to acknowledge those people that are not able to come here, and we want them to enjoy this as much as they can. I'm the only person who has access to a laptop right now. We're actually not able to read the chat room for those of you who are listening in, because the screens are showing Laughing Buddha, who's joining us remotely. So I just want to indicate who's here. Laughing Buddha, can you tell us who is with us?
Yeah, actually I do. I have the chat room up in front of me. We've got Daniel from North Carolina. Mr. Mike, 1972. That pink jeans guy, I think that's David. Tom G, CGLB, the Utah Lurker, and then we've got Bear Herman, Cosmic G, George in Atlanta, Kathy Bacon, Lala Lauren is joining us from Chicago, Larkin is in the room, along with Magus AFK, and a couple of Mims, and Timmy Sims is also in the chat room, as is Trixie, Greg BKC, Rod SL, and Veritable Virgo. He seems to be a little bit idle at the moment.
Right. Thank you. Thanks, Laughing Buddha. And thanks to those of you who are joining us here via the chat room. We hope you're having as good a time as we are here in the podcasting studio. Okay, so I want to know from each of the guests on the panel who are here tonight, do you think that in my country, in Canada, there's an impression that access to healthcare is free? It's very easy for us to go into a hospital or to go to our doctor, and there's no real costs associated to it, other than the way we do pay for access to healthcare, and that is determined by your level of ability to pay. If you make a lot of money, you pay more for the basic health care. If you don't make a lot of money, you pay a little less. So overall, access to health care in Canada is transparent, I guess. So I'd like to know from each and every person here, when you do require services of a health care professional, is there a cost associated to it? I'm going to ask actually Laughing Buddha if you can tell us your experience.
Well, I currently have a high deductible plan through my employer. So basically any preventive care like checkups and that sort of thing, those are covered under my plan. But if I need to see a doctor or have some sort of procedure, I need to pay that out of pocket. And then once I hit the maximum yearly deductible cost, then 100% is covered. But I believe that threshold right now is about $3,500 per year out of pocket expense.
So if you were to go, if you needed to, are you saying that each visit to a doctor, you're charged a fee?
Yes.
And then,
for example, a couple of years ago, I needed to visit a doctor, and it was just a kind of a quick visit, but that entire the cost of that appointment was my responsibility, so I had to pay that. And so what I have is what's called a health savings account, and that has a bunch of money in it that I can use to pay for any of those costs. So it's kind of a health savings account, a pool of money that you can use, and then a high deductible.
Right, okay. What about you, RT Cruiser? What's your experience at getting access to health services?
Yeah, well, free healthcare doesn't really exist. I mean, we pay through our taxes. We actually have a what they call a Medicare levy. So that's an additional tax that doesn't go into consolidated revenue. It's mm-hmm. specifically earmarked for healthcare. For me to go to a GP, I would pay probably about $65, and I would get about 40 of that back. And that's done instantly. So you pay the 65, and then the government pays that back into your account, and it's all done automatically.
Right.
There are some certain situations where you'll pay nothing. Men of a certain age, so when you hit 40, they'll do screening tests. They'll do, you know, check for prostate cancer, do all your blood work. Mm-hmm. Sexual health clinics, you can just go into those,
right,
and get all your blood tests done.
So there's a minimal cost.
There is a minimal cost, and like pensioners, they can find doctors that will bulk bill. So basically the doctor will just accept the fee that the government pays. Mm-hmm. So they just swipe their card and away they go.
Right. Musing Mark, do you have any comments on that, your access to healthcare and the costs associated?
I mean, I think to an extent it's free because you don't pay when you go to the doctor, but it's not really free. I mean, we pay for it through premiums and our employers pay for it. So I have some pros and cons as I've seen them between the Canadian and the U.S. systems.
Yeah.
Some of the pros include easy access. You can go to a clinic and have them look in your ear, as I have done, you know, to see mm-hmm. if something was living inside my ear. So,
was there anything in there?
No.
We don't need to know.
No. And it seems like there's less of a wait. So you have more rapid access, which is good. And it's sort of a hypochondriac stream because you can keep going.
Right.
The cons, from what I've seen, is
you're talking about the Canadian system.
This is the Canadian system, is that care seems to be fairly superficial, get them in, get them out sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on which office you visit, who your doctor is, what city you live in, which province you live in, and like I said, it's not really free. And as a healthy person, I just feel like I'm paying and paying and paying into the system and not really getting anything out of it.
Yeah.
And there are long wait times for things like hip replacements. It can take 3 years to get a hip replacement.
Now, there's some debate over that, though, because my research indicates that there's perceived long waits for procedures when, in fact, wait times aren't really that significant, the research that I see shows, Canada.
Yeah, I think it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in the middle of nowhere, you're going to wait. And
right.
You're not going to have the access that you're going to have in Toronto or Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, JR, you have some experience in healthcare field.
Do
you have any comments about this?
So I pay through the nose. It doesn't cover a lot. I have a long wait, and I have a pretty high deductible for certain procedures that's very complicated and has a lot of exclusions and details that you have to read through item by item and figure those out. So I'm paying through the nose, and I don't get great service. I have a really tiny network of physicians in a giant city to choose from. And if I needed a large procedure, I also would probably wait a really long time. Hmm. That's the American way.
Right. Now, there's the claps in the room for that. Now, what about Obama? I don't want to get into a discussion about Obamacare, but I would just like to touch on the fact
that
the
Affordable Care Act.
The Affordable Care Act, right?
Yes, thank you.
So the Affordable Care Act has come in. It was touted that there's a misperception that it was going to provide access to health care for everybody, but in fact, that's not entirely the case. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I have a few thoughts on that. Generally speaking, there are some benefits to it. It eliminated pre-existing condition clauses. So generally speaking, people can get into it. There are nice subsidies that are available, that were available through the federal government if you don't make a lot of money to help you get into a decent plan. However, that seems to be suspended. And so at least in the state of California, they're still doing it. What the healthcare industry is experiencing as a result is they claim that that it's financially kind of devastating to their plans and that it's going to impact rates significantly. So it's an interest. You know, it's an interesting idea. I think the full deal would have been fantastic, but since we only got part of the way there, now we're required to do that, or else we're going to have penalties on taxes if you're not covered. Employees are going to have some penalties if they're not offering coverage, and financially. Basically, the people who do the analytics and run the numbers, they weren't able to tell exactly what the impact would be. But what happened was, through the Affordable Care Act, you got a lot of unhealthy individuals, which makes sense. They weren't able to get into plans before. So it's had a huge catastrophic impact on the actual health care. So a lot of people probably will see 20%, if not more, rate increases in the year or two ahead.
Oh, dear. Laughing Buddha, do you have comments about the Affordable Care Act, or is there anything... I'm sort of relying on you, Laughing Buddha, to keep your eye on the chat room for us, because it's more difficult for us here.
Yeah. I basically don't know too much about the Affordable Care Act, because it really didn't impact me, because my employer was still offering health insurance. But, you know, I think there are some good things in that insurance companies can no longer... have a limit on the amount of coverage that an individual has. Personally, before, we were capped at $1 million worth of coverage during a lifetime. So if you had a catastrophic illness, the chances of you getting to that cap were rather good. But you know, insurance companies spend a lot of money on marketing and other costs, and I think that, you know, really has an effect. I think it's going to be a couple of years before we actually see what shakes out on the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit actually about your comment about marketing. And I'd like to, you know, in Canada, actually, in the United States, we see your television and we see these pharma companies, you know, pill designers, constantly marketing their products to you with the, you know, the laundry list of you know, if your stool has blood in it, see your doctor. All of these riders, things to watch out for. And I wonder if we can talk about the way in which the drug companies are sort of having some sort of a stranglehold over healthcare and the way that healthcare is provided. And who is really in charge here? Is it the large pharma companies that are sort of taking hostage the medical system? Because we don't have this experience in Canada. You know, we're not constantly marketed to buy this kind of a pill or to ask your doctor for this pill versus that pill. I'm wondering if anyone has any comments on how this using Mark.
Well, but we are in Canada because Canadians watch so much US TV. So I
True.
Mean,
yeah.
The pharmaceuticals are getting a double bang right. for their buck. By yeah, I mean they don't. Yeah, because Canada doesn't remove those commercials. The Canadians see them too,
right.
and they get all the same pills. So,
but is there any concern that those pharmaceutical companies are sort of taking over your ability to get access to the proper kind of health care? Anyone?
I would say, you know, it's a factor. Our healthcare system is kind of a more than a quadruple fuck you in every direction. Oop, am I not allowed to use that word? Sorry.
No, you can swear as much as you want.
Sorry. So you know, the health insurance companies will tell you that medical facilities are raising the rates higher and higher and higher, so they have to charge more because when they run the numbers, my gosh, now it costs this much to have this. So they do all these measures to try to control that. So that's a problem. The healthcare industries are saying, well, you're adding more steps and process healthcare insurance, and you're making it more difficult, and just based on sort of the cost of pharmaceuticals and other things, we have to raise our costs. So then that goes up. And then I agree with you, you know, our pharmaceuticals are some of the most insidious, awful I apologize if somebody works for one of those companies. Right. I work for an awful company too. Anyway, they're taking advantage. Someone might know there's a huge percentage of the marketing dollars are spent, and it's even more than I think in development and testing of pharmaceuticals.
That's my concern. Is there a conspiracy that they're building diseases that they can create a pill to fix.
Yeah, I'm sure that every time I watch one of those commercials, I think this could apply to me, but I don't really want anal bleeding and all these things that could result in death.
That Peter G approaches the mic.
Well, I work for a large health organization, 40 something hospitals, 40,000 people across 3 states, and we have completely banned drug reps from going into hospitals and clinics. They're not allowed anymore, because they would just come in and shower the doctors and the staff, more importantly, the receptionists and the staff and everything, with pizza and goodies and all this stuff. So that's completely banned now. Mm-hmm. But it is true, people come in and they say, I want whatever pill, they want from, they learn from ads. And they have created conditions, like there's this pill that Brooke Shields markets on TV if you have short eyelashes. It's called Latisse, and it's specifically designed to grow a woman's eyelashes. Now, is this a threat that we have Ebola raging across Africa, AIDS crisis, and here we have Brooke Shields worrying about her eyelashes?
Right.
So they have indefinitely invented conditions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Could I just tell you about my foot?
Yeah, please
do. My experience, because I have this big thing on my foot. Right. So I had two ruptured tendons in my ankle, and I went to the doctor, which was right next to my office, and they took care of it. And I had paid $15. I got the MRI right away. That I didn't have to pay anything for that. But the only thing they wouldn't pay for is the actual boot, because they said it had to be medically certified.
You're kidding.
And I had to go to a review process. And it's like $48 boot. It's not even, so see, I paid for that out of pocket, the only thing.
But it's because it has a heel on it and jewels, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly, yes.
I just want to say, in Canada, we never pay anything, unless you're going for some certain services like chiropractic care or, what are considered non-essential medical care. We don't pay a dime. I just recently went through a medical situation, not that there was anything wrong with me, but I was getting some tests done and receiving some medical service, and it didn't cost me a dime. It was quick, it was organized, and appointments were made and met and kept, and it was really a pleasing experience. And not a single dollar left my wallet to receive what I considered to be really an excellent service and a lot of different tests and various things. So.
Just out of curiosity, I mean, I know a little bit about the Canadian healthcare system, but can you talk about how does that get paid for?
Yeah, okay.
And how much do doctors make there versus here?
I'm not sure I can speak to the doctor's income, but we pay, my family, my partner and I, my work takes deductions off my paycheck bi-weekly. And it's something like $30 every biweekly paycheck.
Oh, that's great.
And that's for the family. So you can work out whatever that is per year. And that gives me access to every kind of medical care that I need that isn't considered to be elective surgery. There are some certain procedures that aren't covered. But then on top of that, I have extra medical insurance. To cover things like the pharmaceuticals, drugs are covered, to a certain, 80% of the cost of drugs is covered for me. It also covers things like massage therapists and chiropractic and all that. And there's certain levels, maximums that you can do per year, that kind of thing. So that medical insurance costs about $60, I think, $60 a month or $60 every biweekly. But that includes a life insurance as well. So it's really reasonable. Do you want to speak to that, Mark?
No, I think it is really reasonable. And I think it's great for the majority of people.
Right.
I think sort of where it gets complicated is if someone has something unusual wrong with them, some rare disorder, or they live remotely, then the system doesn't work so well. But I think for most folks, it's a good solution. Yes.
You know, I've had quite a few, an unusually large number of people around me who have been experiencing cancer recently, and they've gone through cancer treatments, you know, testing and biopsies and surgeries and chemotherapy and all the things that go along with treating cancer. And, it, you know, it hasn't cost a dime other than some travel expenses for them to go to travel because they needed to go to a hospital which doesn't provide service in their town, right? These are remote living rural people. So this I think the service is quite good overall. Just to be clear, our government funds basically 70% of medical service is paid for by the government. And then what the deductions I talked about from the paycheck cover the other 30%. That's what I'm paying for is basically 30% of my medical health care. The rest is all. Yes, Mark.
We had a question in the chat room about dental care in the Canadian system. Is that also covered under your Medical Care Act, or is that a separate as it is in the U.S.?
Yeah, dental is not covered by the Canadian medical system. However, the third-party insurance I spoke about covers that for me. And so typically we just get third-party medical or dental coverage. So it's not part of the official Health Care Act. I have Toppy Smelly at the mic. I just want to know, does any... RT Cruiser, do you want to speak to any of these things?
Yeah, I'm just fascinated when I come to America with your advertising for the pharmaceuticals, because we don't have any advertising at all, pharmaceutical companies, apart from over-the-counter medications for headaches and things like that, can't be advertised. Our government approves what medications are sold. The pharmaceutical companies will market directly to doctors, but they've got to be approved. They're all subsidized, and with prescriptions we do have safety nets as well. So my prescriptions are about $70 to $80 a month. I get a slight subsidy on that. They actually print what the retail would be and what you pay. Once you hit a certain level, the government covers everything.
Oh, yes. Toppy Smelly.
Oh, just a comment and then a question, but I just had five different biopsies. And I'm going to be a skirt to get the bill, that's for sure. But Mark, maybe I stepped out. You may have already covered this, but you're leaving the Canadian system of healthcare, coming back. Any thoughts or anxiety, or is it? It's going to be different, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely a concern. It's really the only concern that I have, because I'm going from the system that's, you know, comprehensive, and it's not. I'm not going to go broke if I have a heart attack or something goes wrong, to a system where, yeah, I'm pretty much on my own. So it is, yeah, it's a little disconcerting. I just hope that I stay as healthy as possible and don't have to access the system. So.
All right, Laughing Buddha, do you have anything? I want to turn our conversation to the next topic, but any final comments on healthcare?
I think my only final comment is that, you know, we have a system that's still broken and it's not going to be fixed anytime soon, but, you know, we can make baby steps forward. It would be nice if our healthcare system was based on compassion, but it's not. It's based on profit. And until that changes, I don't think we're going to see a great deal of change in the system.
Mm-hmm. RT Cruiser, any final comments?
Yeah, just even though we have the universal healthcare, it works very closely with private doctors. So a lot of the specialists in the public hospitals run private practices as well. So there's not a competition between the universal healthcare and the private health system. They work together.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, actually, just going back, we sort of suffer the same problem with the pharmaceutical companies marketing directly to the doctors. I know it's not as prevalent as we, you know, you probably, as you, Mark was talking about in the U.S., but I do know that my doctor will often give free pills because a pharmaceutical company has come and said, here, try, get your patients to try these pills and tell us what you think. And so it does occur, so they are trying, you know, they attempt in that small way, and I don't know what the rules are around that kind of thing, but it does occur.
Yeah, with ours as well, if there is a generic available, the pharmacist has to tell you there's a generic that might be cheaper.
Right. And our insurance companies actually will often say, you must get the generic, the cheap one of these. You can't have the high-tech expensive one without going through a bunch of hoops or without getting the doctor to go through a bunch of hoops. And I just want to say there are some minor things that doctors will charge for, like if I was injured at work, the doctor will charge a fee to provide a medical report to my work so that I can get off work and still receive benefits. So there's some other, you know, there's a lot of little things that you still do have to pay for out of pocket. But as a general rule, basic medical care is free. JR. Any comments?
You know, and I don't want to sound too doom and gloom. This country is great for a lot of things, but I think that one thing I would remind people about healthcare and anything else is it's a capitalistic system. We care more about dollars than we do anything else, and that includes human life. So if you care about that, make sure you're electing the right officials every time, you know, voting comes up. Make sure you're voting for things, because the complacency there, or sort of the laziness sometimes I want to be, can create, you know, real big problems. And, you know, remember that this country has done a lot of amazing, wonderful things, but yeah, we care about dollars more than people.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, TJ. Yes,
just one last note to what JR just said. It's so bad that in some cases a company's insurance policy before the Affordable Health Care Act, and I'm not sure what it's like underneath that, because I work for a place that has a great health care policy now, but I've worked for a place that would not cover women's yearly exams or 11 out of 12 months of birth control pills, because they knew that most women would fund that out of their own pocket to get the preventative care done, and for the few that didn't, who actually got cancer of the lady parts, it was cheaper to take care of them than to pay for everybody to get preventative medicine.
Mm-hmm. Prime example.
Yeah.
Musing Mark, do you have anything you want to close out about healthcare?
Well, I wouldn't want to bring up the whole two-tiered thing. Like it.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain level of that in Canada. I doubt that the Prime Minister goes to the same sort of walk-in clinics that I do.
Right.
So, and I guess I'm not totally opposed to paying for some of my own care, mm-hmm. if it means, and a lot of rich Canadians do go to the States for treatments that they can't get in Canada, or, you know, for those Botox and,
right.
you know, those other cosmetic procedures. Yeah. So, and that's a very controversial issue in Canada, what should be covered and what shouldn't be. And there's always a drive to cover more and more, but I'm not completely opposed to paying some of my money to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. And just to further explain the Canadian system, the federal government has the Health Care Act. It's their baby, and the Health Care Act says that every province needs to provide a set level of care. Each province, however, decides how they're going to take the money that they get from the government, and they apply it in their own ways. So not every service that you might receive in British Columbia would be the same sort of service that you'll get in Alberta or Ontario. However, the primary goal of the Health Care Act is to ensure that every Canadian citizen receives equal access to basic medical care. So that's basically how it works for us. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. And thank you to those people who are joining us here in the Pride 48 studio talking about this topic. I'm not sure it was exciting as some of the other crazy antics that have been going on around this this studio this weekend. So I want to say thanks to my guests who have joined me here today. Laughing Buddha, do you want to tell us who's still kicking around in the chat room?
Sure. Kicking around in the chat room is Bear Herman, Daniel from North Carolina, Kathy Bacon, Larkin, that pink jeans guy, Veritable Virgo, Cosmic G, George in Atlanta, La La Lauren, we've got Mib, Mr. Mike 1972, Oscar, Timmy Sims, Trixie, Utah Lurker, and Rod SL, and Greg in BKC.
Now, for those of you who are not in here in Las Vegas, you will not have received the swag bag that was given out to all of the participants here at Pride 48 Las Vegas. I can't put a picture in the chat room, but the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, or the Pink Wheel Nuts Podcast, has provided a very cute and handy little pink-colored, keychain-sized tire pressure gauge. So, if you are not in Las Vegas and you would like to have one of these magnificent keychain-sized tire pressure gauges, it says Pink Wheel Nuts on it, and it has the website address. You just email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com, and I will be happy to send you one of these fantastic little gizmos. I've not yet tried mine out, so I can't vouch for the quality that they are, but nonetheless, I hope everyone has gotten their little tire pressure gauge. And if you want to learn how to use your tire pressure gauge, I will be happy to give private lessons to anyone. You know I love to give the private lessons. All right, I guess we should say thank you and goodbye to everyone who's joined us here on the panel. Let's see, we'll start with Musing Mark. Can you tell us where we can find you and where you are on the internets?
Yes, my podcast is Musings of a Tech Writer, musingsofatechwriter.com. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Mark. RT Cruiser, where can we find you?
You can find me whoring around in the chat room most times.
All right.
And you can find me at RT Cruiser on Twitter.
I hear we can find you whoring around on the casino floors too, but... and you should see...
Just your underwear party.
Oh, yeah. Something that the people in the chat room might not be aware of, RT Cruiser always has a good shirt with a catchy saying on it that he wears every day, a different saying. What are you wearing today, RT Cruiser?
In reference to the Pink Wheel Nuts, I have my petrosexual t-shirt, and it says, "Suck, squish, bang, and blow."
And anybody who knows anything about engines will understand that completely. Anybody who knows anything else about other things should understand that as well. JR, how can we find you? Where are you on the internets?
This is a difficult one. I let Calvin handle that.
Oh,
so
I'll tell you.
It's under Hello yep. Waffles, and our email address is hellowaffles@gmail.com. If you want to be invited to Calvin's Twitter account that he's pretty on top of, it's got like numbers and shit in there.
H3LLO.
Right.
Underscore wa.
No underscore?
No underscore.
Waffles. H3LL. You could come up to the mic, JR, yeah. And help us out. Come on. He's not going to do it.
All right. So, yeah, you can find us there or sometimes whoring. Calvin will be whoring in the chat room, and I'll be standing over the corner of his shoulder. So.
Okay. I am the Faye Driver, pinkwheelnuts.com, and the man who always has the last word. It is the Laughing Buddha.
I am the Laughing Buddha, and you can find me at thescooterdiaries.net. You can also follow me on Twitter as Laughing Buddha. That's LaffingBuddha. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and have fun in Vegas.
And coming up after me is the Secretly Timid Show, right after us here, right in the studio at Pride 48 Las Vegas.
Pink Wheel. Garage.